Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Mamano, your host, and I am here to help achievers and business owners and leaders move forward so that they can reach their potential. And I do this by interviewing Rochester business movers and shakers. Today I have a great one who is not only a great mover and shaker, he's a friend of mine. He is Richard Notre-Giacomo. Richard, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Great, David. How are you today?
Good. And I love your last name. It's such a passionate, great Italian last name, right?
You bet.
Notre Giacomo. How many people pronounce that wrong at first?
99%.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I got Mamano, and Mamano, I think, is pretty easy, but they get that wrong quite often too. So,
I pronounced it wrong at first myself. So
it took a while, huh? So Richard, you are with a place called RIT Venture Creation. So everybody knows RIT, Rochester Institute of Technology. Tell us more about Venture Creations. What is it and what do you do there?
Right. Venture Creations is RIT's technology business incubator. Okay. And what we do is we work with startups. And let me define a startup, quoting from Steve Blank from Stanford, who says that a startup is a temporary organization whose sole purpose is to develop and validate a viable business model. So we start with startups and we help them along that path to develop and validate that business model such that when they leave us, they are viable small companies, hopefully on the way to becoming viable medium to large companies.
Very cool. So give us like a real live example, maybe a company that just started there. First of all, how do they find you? I mean, there are obviously some other incubators in town. How do they connect with you? And then what's kind of like the launching pad of beginning a relationship with Venture Creations?
Sure. There's a myriad of ways that companies connect with us. Sometimes it's as a result of working closely with our sister organization on campus, the Simone Center, led by Richard DiMartino, where we keep an eye on promising student companies. Sometimes people will contact us through our website. We tend to be out and about in the community. So somebody might see us at a meeting somewhere or an event somewhere, referrals. It's just a myriad of ways people find us. Sometimes it's as simple as people will Google Rochester Incubator and they'll find us.
And you guys will come up. So how does someone qualify? Do they have to qualify to get into work with you guys?
Sure. We have two on-ramps. On-ramp one is to be a member of the RIT family. Okay, and that can be a faculty, an alum, a staff member, a friend. Students we tend to treat specially, and I can talk about that in a minute, but that would be back to the Simone Center we talked about. The other on-ramp is to have your business based on a technology foundation where RIT's got strength. And we've got strength in a whole bunch of different areas. So, I mean, an example I like to use, if you've got something that relies on imaging science, computational science, clean energy, sustainability, on, it doesn't matter if you're a member of the family or not. We want to help because we know we've got linkages back to campus. And I think the primary guiding force in the whole conversation is, can we help and how can we help? That's what qualifies people. Now, beyond that, when we look at a company as a candidate for admission, we're looking at, our sense of the strength of the value proposition and recognize that's very imprecise early on. We're looking for whether we think it can scale to $10 million in annual revenue or greater. We're looking for a team that's coachable. We're looking for a team that is of critical mass to at least get started. We don't expect it to be a fully fleshed out team. That's part of what we help with. But we generally like to see two people, one maybe with an orientation to the product technical side and another one with an orientation to the business and market side.
So it sounds like, what a great resource, and it doesn't cost them anything, right?
We do charge either for rent or for services, Our charges are not excessive by any means.
So they're very minimal for the yeah. what you're going to get.
You bet.
Yep. And what do they get? So let's say, okay, I'm an RIT alum and I have a technology company. Boom, I'm in, right? And so I'm going to go there. I get an office, set up shop. How else, what other ways is Venture Creations going to help me?
The primary value add that that we offer is the linkage of a company in a one-on-one relationship with a coach. And the coach is kind of the case manager, if you will. And the coach will function as, you know, think about it as your primary care physician, right? You yep. go to the primary care physician for, you know, ongoing check-ins, day-to-day kind of routine things. And the coach can handle that. And the coach is really looking at, you know, the extent to which the entrepreneurs are following the plan that they developed. Are they doing what they said they were going to do? If not, what's getting in the way? What barriers can we help help them move or work around? When on occasion, when we need to dive into something more deeply, we will bring in a subject matter expert, kind of like going to a specialist in the healthcare field. But most of the service is delivered through the coaches. And the way we work it is the coach will be the one that sets the cadence for the meetings. Generally speaking, we'll meet with entrepreneurs every other week. But I think we've all had examples where we've met with entrepreneurs multiple times per week. Rare, but it's happened. Mm-hmm. And even rarer when we might meet with an entrepreneur every other month.
So do you guys have some bona fide program for the coaches, so there's some consistency in what they're doing with everybody at the center?
Yes and no. Okay. Mm-hmm. We look at what we do is you know, like bringing a toolbox to a job, and in the sense that, you know, we have similar tools in our toolboxes. Yeah, we have a common framework among the coaches, but every job is different. Every company is different. Every company needs slightly different things. They bring slightly different strengths, slightly different, you know, blind spots, if you will.
Sure.
So what we like to do is say that, you know, we've got an array of tools that we have. And with that, a fairly extensive network of contacts. And then the question is, okay, so what do you need today? And how can we help you with that?
So are you finding Rochester to be a pretty fruitful community when it comes to people that are able to be coaches and the network of resources to help these starting businesses?
Yeah, we've got a lot of people around and you know, we've got resumes after resumes of people willing to help. The question is you know, kind of keeping them all straight and bringing them in as it makes sense. But yeah, we've got a lot of people out there. You know, one of the things you hear a lot, and it's a bit of a cliche, but nevertheless, you know, people come in and talk to us and, you know, they want to give back, and that's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Richard, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. I'm here with Richard Notogiacomo from RIT's Venture Creations.
Join Gordon Deal weekdays from 5 to 9 for America's Morning News on 1310 WOKR.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800- 800-261-7848 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-261-7848. That's 800-261-7848. 800-261-7848. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
Hi, I'm Joan London. And if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information.
They had obviously researched every place, not just given me names.
Really? Yeah.
They found me a place for what she could afford, and it was magnificent.
We're now very confident that she's safe, and they just helped every step of the way, and I can't thank them enough.
So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, call A Place for Mom. This is a free service, and you can trust them to help you.
If you're struggling to find reliable senior living information for your mom or dad, then call to get the free help you need during this turbulent time. Call now, 800-217-1052. 800-217-1052.
That's what I'm talking about. 1310 WOKR.
And we are back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I am Dave Amato, your host. Thank you so much for joining us. We are moving forward today in Rochester with just a great business mover and shaker, Richard Notarciacomo from Rochester Institute of Technology, RIT's Venture Creations. And Richard, you know, we were talking about your Italian last name. So Avanti is an Italian word.
Right.
Move forward. And that's the whole purpose of this show, is to have great guests like you, business owners, people affecting business like you, and really helping people start businesses and grow businesses, and just kind of a game changer in the ecosystem of business here in Rochester. And that's where you fit in. And so it's all part of a whole community of people helping Rochester move forward with, growing businesses, starting businesses, moving businesses to the next level. So appreciate what you're doing. Tell us about you a little bit. I know that, so we met because I think we met at something probably with Richard Glazer in one of his events, but you were a professor at RIT, and you brought me in to speak to your class a few times, which is fun.
Right.
And just tell us about, you know, your history here in Rochester and how you ended up at Venture Creations.
I'm still trying to figure that out, actually.
Right after you forgot how to pronounce your last name, right?
Right. You know, it's an interesting story, and it's one that that in many ways speaks to the value of getting out and meeting with people. I'll shorten it as best I can, but I came up here as so many people right after getting my bachelor's degree, and I took a job with Kodak.
Came up here from New York?
I grew up in Rye, downstate, you know, Westchester County, Rye, New York.
Okay.
Went to school at RPI, so I came north to get my degree, and then I moved west to wind up here at Kodak. And I had essentially, after being at Kodak for a while and starting to think about what I was going to do next, as I was approaching retirement age, I had concluded that I wanted to set up a consulting and coaching firm focused on innovation and new products and new businesses. Most of my work at Kodak was in innovation, new products, new businesses. And I had gotten involved with an organization called the Product Development Management Association. That's a professional association for people obviously engaged in new products and innovation. And through that organization, I met the guy that would eventually become my business partner. And I also met up with a woman with whom I served on the PDMA board. She was a professor at our RPI, where I did my undergraduate work. She was part of PDMA, and we got to know each other, Gina O'Connor. And she was doing some work on radical innovation in large companies, which just happened to be the part of Kodak I was in at the time when I met her. I was in the innovation, one of the innovation centers there. And long story short, we have a meeting of the research team and the Kodak team out at RPI. And that introduced me to an RIT professor by the name of Richard DiMartino, who I mentioned earlier, runs the Simone Center. And it's just kind of one thing happened after another, kind of the bricks started falling in place, if you will. And the next thing you know, I was doing some adjunct teaching here at RIT. Then I joined the Venture Creations part-time. That led to my joining the Saunders College part-time. And next thing you know, a couple of years later, I wound up as director of the of Venture Creations.
None of it
planned, other than the point at which that I decided that I was leaving Kodak. And of course, I had brilliant timing there because I started this consultancy in innovation and new products right in the beginning of 2008. And by October of that year, nobody wanted to talk about innovation and new products.
I know, just right?
Cash.
that's just stay afloat, please, right?
Yes, exactly.
So we are pre-recording this show, and you've been talking about Richard DiMartino. I've met Richard many, many times. Great guy. Really, I got to have him on the show too.
Super guy. Yeah,
great innovative things. I met his wife a number of times. She's a sweetie pie, and he actually got me a great employee for a while, and Marie, so the power of Facebook that I can actually tell today that it's Richard's birthday today. So I don't know if you knew that, but I do because I'm friends with him on Facebook. So happy birthday, Richard.
I didn't know that. I'll have to give him a call.
Yeah, give him a call and just out of the blue, hey, happy birthday, right?
Right.
He'll think the world of you. So now that you are helping people running this center, what do you, are there some trends, I guess I should say, of people when they start a business? What are some of the first things that you see that they need help with just to kind of get the ball rolling?
Well, every incubator is going to see things differently. Everybody's going to see a different segment of the populace, right? Mm-hmm. But here at Venture Creations, we typically see people who are starting technology businesses. I mean, that's what we do, right?
Yep.
And so as a result, the first people that walked through the door are generally the inventors, the technologists.
Yeah.
And the first thing that they need most of the time is to engage with customers and understand the value that the customer can derive from the invention that they've made. Okay. Sometimes they'll come in with anecdotal information. That's okay. But we really want to get out there and get the conversation going with potential customers who don't know you and don't love you and other than your mom, right? People that will tell you the unvarnished truth. And I would say that's where we mostly start working, because without that connection between the customer and the product or service, we're not going anywhere. Everything else will depend on what that, what we call product market fit, what that looks like.
Yeah, that's great. So can you tell us some success stories, some stories of companies that have incubated there and then left the nest and are able to talk about it today?
I can probably talk about one or two. A lot of what we do kind of remains confidential, but
I didn't realize that. Look at me. It's just
a lot of stories. And as a matter of fact, we got a lot of stories on our website, success stories.
Yeah.
Let me give you a couple.
Sure.
One student company, the company was called Strong Arm, one of the first ones I engaged with when I was here.
Yep.
A couple of young guys had summer jobs that required them to lift heavy objects. And they both found that even at their young ages, that it was tough on the back. And more importantly, as they observed some of the older people, they were seeing that they were struggling. So they invented this vest called the Strong Arm Vest. At least that was what the company name was.
Mm-hmm.
And what this vest does, it's really interesting, is that number one is it distributes the load to the strongest portion of the back through the way the vest is constructed. Mm-hmm. And secondly, it holds you into proper lifting position. So you're lifting with your legs, not with your back, and so forth. And they just got going and won a few competitions. They got them some visibility. And, last I knew, they had received significant investment from a large, well-known company that I think I could probably share the name of, but just to be safe, I will not. But you and your audience will know this company, and they're just rocking and rolling.
That is fantastic. That is fantastic. How many companies are you guys working with at a time?
Generally in the low 20s.
Okay.
Right now, I think we've got 22. And that number changes all the time.
Great.
So we brought on 7 new companies last year.
Wow. Okay. So now what do you find yourself doing? I mean, you're kind of running a business yourself, running Venture Creations. Are you able to spend a lot of time with these companies? Are you kind of like the commander in chief, and the coaches are helping the companies? How do you spend your day on a normal day?
I wind up doing 3 sets of activities. One is I do maintain a coaching load, although not as much as the other guys because of the other things that I'm doing.
Yeah.
I also find myself doing a lot of things in terms of just like you say, running the business. I need to, get involved with, budgets and expenditures and reports and all that kind of stuff. In meetings where, I'm representing Venture Creations, et cetera. The other thing I've watched evolve over the years I've been director here is I also find myself as kind of a drop-in coach. So I like to, even though I'm in my office or in meetings a lot, I like to just walk around the building every now and then, every day, generally once, and just kind of drop in. How's it going? What's going on? What do you need? And then at the same time, sometimes I'll be made aware of certain opportunities, and I'll just pop upstairs, see somebody, say, "Hey, got this opportunity. Are you interested? Can I make a connection for you, etc." So it's kind of not the direct coach, but like an indirect coach.
Well, it almost sits a good old fashioned management by walking around, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you learn at Kodak that you're bringing to the table?
Wow. Lots.
Yeah.
Stuff to do and stuff to not do.
Well, I was going to say, there's gotta be a little bit of both, right?
Absolutely. What, my time at Kodak, I changed jobs a lot, and I don't know that that's necessarily atypical, but what was cool was I was changing functional areas, I was changing business units, and I was changing product lines. And one of the things I observed was that things are similar, but things are different, obviously every business had its own set of nuances and things that made it unique. And yet they all had a foundational core that, you had to check those boxes, whether you were making film or single-use cameras or digital products, et cetera. So I think I got a lot of appreciation for what it's like to sit at the various seats around the table, because they gave me the opportunity to sit at various seats around the table.
It's a good experience.
Yeah, I mean, I look back on it and feel like I've learned an awful lot. Learned an awful lot there.
Now, if I remember correctly, I think we talked about it. You are not doing the professor stuff anymore.
I've got the grandfather job in the professor world. I go in, I do 4 lectures in the term, and I don't have to worry about grading and anything else. I just do my 4 lectures. I go in, come out 4 times.
That's great. That's great. Now, and you had me speak in your classes a few times.
Absolutely.
That was a great class too. What was that class? I'm trying to remember what class that was.
We ran a combined class, which is known as Applied Entrepreneurship at the undergraduate level and Applied Venture Creation at the graduate level. And functionally the content we deliver is pretty much the same in both of those classes. So you came in and talked to that you know, that class a number of times. And that class was populated with students who basically had businesses that they were working on developing.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, kind of in a model of venture creations, if you will, because the coaching delivered in those classes is not different at all from what we do here. The only difference with the class is we had some classroom time, which, you know, your visit was one of the things that we did.
So question for you, who are some of your favorite entrepreneurs?
I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah. Uh-oh. It's okay.
I mean, I've got a lot of favorite entrepreneurs in town. Maybe I'll,
well, they could be anybody. They could be famous worldwide ones in town, whatever. So maybe give me a couple of your famous entrepreneurs and then tell me why.
You know, one of the guys I admire, probably everybody, a lot of people say this, but Steve Jobs, you know, Steve Jobs had a vision, and, you know, whatever people thought of him one way or the other, he stayed true to that vision. And it was, he was out to change the world, and he was going to do it in a certain way. And I thought, you know, that's pretty powerful. Now, I mean, also, I mean, he made a great product, great company, had a great outcome. But I think, you know, the lesson there was that, you know, sometimes you just got to trust your gut and you got to go. Now, not everybody does that. It's going to make it, right? But he just had a vision and stuck to it. So I would put him up top.
Yep, I agree. Did you read his biography?
You know, I got to about page 162 or 63. Then something came up, and it's still in my my Kindle.
I call it the pile of shame. Oh, use the Kindle. Yeah, I have the book pile next to my desk. There is called the pile of shame. All the books I got to read. Right.
So, yeah. One of the things I observed, you know, is now that you can download books, right? They're kind of out of sight, out of mind, and it was really, my reading was a whole lot better when I'd borrow a book from the library and I had to mail it in 3 weeks or 2 weeks, whatever it is.
I know the pressure was on, right?
Right.
Hey, Richard, we're going to take one more quick break and we'll be right back with the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I'm here with Richard Notagiacomo with RIT's Venture Creation.
Join Gordon Deal weekdays from 5 to 9 for America's Morning News on 1310 WOKR.
Find out how a surgeon-controlled robotic arm named Mako is changing hip and knee replacement surgery for the better. Orthopedic surgeon Dr. Robert Sherman from Upstate Orthopedics will discuss how Mako is allowing surgeons to replace knees and hips with optimal results and faster recovery times. Join Dr. Sherman on Monday, January 29th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Inn on the Lake in Canandaigua. To register, call 1-888-787-9537 or visit MeetMako, M-A-K-O, Canandaigua.com.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Please call 1-800-414-1305 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1305. 1-800-414-1305. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1305.
Grandma, can you come out and play?
Sure, Ellie. Oh, my. You might want to come here and help Grandma.
What's the matter, Grandma? Can't you stand?
Oh, sorry, honey. It's my knees. They don't work the way they used to.
Does this ever happen to you? Are you on Medicare? You may qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Call the Health Hotline to see if you qualify. Our friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have braces for your shoulder, ankle, or back pain. And if you're covered by Medicare, you may qualify for free delivery.
Grandma, slow down. I can't keep up.
Maybe you can use a knee brace too, Ellie. Catch me if you can, kiddo.
Call now to get your pain-relieving knee brace. 800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. That's 800-301-1318.
Your home is a big investment. If you live in a condominium or homeowners association, decisions by your board and community manager affect you. Is your board knowledgeable? Is your manager trained? Is your investment protected? CAI, Community Associations Institute, can give you the tools to protect your home and community. CAI is a nonprofit organization with resources for your board, community managers, and free information for homeowners like you. CAI at responsiblecommunities.com.
That's what I'm talking about. 1310 WOKR.
Hello and welcome back to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. I'm here with Richard Notarigiacomo from RIT's Venture Creations, which is a really great incubator in town. There's a few incubators, and this one has been around for a while, doing very well, doing some very exciting things, especially being connected with RIT, which, talk about innovation. I mean, they have the innovation, what's it called? The Innovation Festival, where my son, who is kind of a robotics STEM, self-professed nerd, loves that day over at RIT. We go every year. So I imagine being connected to RIT, all the resources and the people, is just such a great advantage for Venture Creations.
Absolutely. It's kind of really defines who we are. Okay. When I think about us in the incubator space, if you will, in the incubator market in town, you know, what are we and what do we bring to the table? Well, we bring RIT.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And all that that means, whether it's co-ops and interns, which we always have a few working for us at Venture Creations, linkage to the faculty, to faculty research. It's all about RIT, and there's a great place to be.
And I imagine you've met the new president a few times.
I haven't met him a couple times. He is on our Venture Creations board, and he's been at a couple board meetings. And I've seen him a couple other times.
Oh, good. So he's jumping right in.
Yeah, for sure.
That is excellent. We saw him when I ran into you a couple weeks ago at Rochester Growth Event in the downstairs cabaret, right?
Downstairs cabaret.
Seems like a real down-to-earth guy for, you know, a lot of presidents of colleges, you know, God bless them. It's a tough job, but often there's almost an air of royalty. He seems very, very just regular guy down to earth. I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, he's been, great. He's attended two of our board meetings now, and it's been great having him on board.
Yeah, and a lot of Rochester people don't know this, you know, all these treasures in our backyard. But last time I heard, RIT was the 11th largest private college in the country.
I believe that's the case. I'm not sure.
I think when it was Simone, when President Simone was here, it was 12. And then I heard it, and now it's the 11th largest private college in the country, right here in Rochester, New York. I mean, come on, who knows that, right? Isn't that crazy?
I also believe that we are the number two grantor of STEM degrees within private universities.
I did hear that too. Well, and you know, great schools like RIT and U of R, and really all the other colleges in this area as well. Thank you for bringing students here and keeping them here. Right. I mean, I was just at a Rotary meeting, and President Don Braveman over at Nazareth said, you know, we hear about the brain drain all the time. And he talks about colleges being a brain magnet, right? Bringing some really smart people here, and a lot of them stay.
Right.
Used to be Kodak and Xerox and et cetera, bringing people like you here and locking you in. And that's not happening much anymore with those companies, but it is happening with the colleges. So we really have to be proud of them.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yep. So Richard, next question is, for a lot of companies that are you know, they're at a few hundred thousand, maybe a million on their own, just kind of, you know, gut instincts, right? And maybe working with some mentors. What are some common activities that you see that companies need to do they're just past the startup level. They got to scale to that next level. Maybe it's, you know, a million to 5 million. What are some of the things that need to change in the company, maybe with the CEO, the executive team, or maybe more structure? What are some of the things that you see need to change so that a company can go, I'll say, to that step two? Do you see some common themes?
Yep. You know, most of what we do ends before that phase. But let me offer a couple of thoughts. I think it's critically important. Once you've established a model that works, okay, I think it's critically important to stay focused on it. And I think there's a tendency sometimes to say, well, we got that one working. Let's branch out and do something different. And I think that's a risky thing, because what I think you want to do is just keep nailing that one segment till you've really got it on a growth path. And at that point, maybe you can branch out and do another product line or another industry vertical, depending on what your business is. But I think trying to diversify and expand too soon could be an issue for companies at that phase.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I said, we generally, say farewell to them before that.
They're leaving the nest, right? So you've done your job, right? So that's fantastic. So Richard, being involved in the entrepreneurial world one way or another for quite a while, and I know that you've been involved with Richard Glaser in some of his activities. I believe you're on the advisory board of Rochester Growth, or have been. Is that correct?
I work with him on his CEO network, and then sit in with on the Rochester Growth team, part of the Regional Economic Development Council.
Yeah. So being in this world, I'm going to put you on the spot again a little bit. Wondering if you were to, let's say it's Christmas time and you have to give a gift to a new business owner, right? A young business owner is about to start. And you say, hey, what do you want? And they say, you know, if you've got to give me something, I want some books. Give me some books that are going to help me grow and start my business. What are some of your favorite books to help entrepreneurs start and grow businesses?
My all-time favorite book in this space is a book called Why Startups Fail. Hmm. And I think there's a parenthetical and how to prevent yours from doing so. It's what I call an airport or an airplane book, right? You know, it's 175, 180 pages. You know, can knock it off on an airplane. And what it does is it lists one at a time the ills that often, you know, precipitate failure of a startup company. And what I like about it is it's clear, it's concise, it's not a tome, it's very, you know, it's a quick read, it's profound. He gives you, you know, the workarounds. It was recommended to me by professor down at SUNY Cortland. We got together, kind of compared notes, and he put this book on the table, and I've been promoting it ever since.
That's right.
It's got that right balance of content richness without being burdensome to read.
And it's called Why Startups Fail.
Why Startups Fail.
Excellent. I'll have to check that out. My next question has to do with wellness of the entrepreneur. Are you seeing a lot of business owners these days that are a little bit more balanced than maybe entrepreneurs 20 years ago? And what I mean by that balance from a perspective of not only, you know, doing well in business, but taking care of other things that matter long-term as well, as, you know, maybe spending more time with their wife, husband, kids, taking care of themselves, you know, as far as health and mental wellness. Are you seeing more of that, or is it about the same?
I think it's a great question. I'm going to duck it for two different reasons. One is I don't know that I've got any historical data, and I know I don't have any current data. I don't see that. I see them when they're here. I will tell you this, it would not be uncommon to find cars in the parking lot late at night and or on the weekend. But I don't know how that translates. I'm not, counting noses or anything.
Yeah. Well, the reason I asked that, because it's so important to me. I'm a big believer in the well-balanced entrepreneur. You see, a lot of business people do very well in business. And really, in my opinion, it's only one benchmark. You know, if you are, got a great bottom line, excellent. But you know what? If you are looking like you're going to have a heart attack tomorrow, then you've kind of failed as a successful entrepreneur in my mind. Or, family life is not doing well. Once again, I strive, ever since I started my business, I've always strived to spend time with my family. Still at this day, I'm home, 5:30 for dinner every night with my family, making time for the kids. Because my worst nightmare is I have a really successful business, but, my kids are in their 20s and they don't want to talk to me because I messed them up.
Right. I'll say this. I do remember from my, corporate days, the situations that you described, mm-hmm. right? People who were working lots and lots of hours. I remember lots of colleagues getting divorced and occasionally, fatal heart attacks and so forth. I don't know how that's working in the entrepreneurial world, but certainly I think in the same position as you, that balance is important. It's important as it relates to outcomes. And I think for me, it also is important as it relates to my ability to get the job done.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so a friend of mine, he's a great entrepreneur in Chicago. Name is Jay Goltz. And he told me a story when I was just starting out that just like really hit me between the eyes in a good way. And so when he was just starting out in the 80s, he went to a big business conference. I think it was like an Inc. magazine conference. And keep the name secret, but it was a great speaker there who was a world-renowned entrepreneur, probably one of the most famous in the world at that time. And he spoke. And so Jay went to his assistant afterwards, press secretary, something like that, and said, hey, obviously, this guy's a great business success. What are his kids like? Which is kind of an insightful question for a young entrepreneur, right? And so this person said, are we off the record? And Jay's like, oh yeah, I'm just another entrepreneur. And so the person said, well, not so good. And he proceeded to walk away and then turned around and went back to Jay and said, listen, since you're asking, I feel compelled to really tell you the truth. They are effed up. And he really used the full word. And one kid is on drugs and one kid won't talk to him. And that hit Jay like a pile of bricks because he was like, what a shame. This guy is a massively successful business person, but his kids are messed up. And that became his worst nightmare. And so he told me that story. And right from day one with my business, I was always very, very intentional about being that well-balanced entrepreneur. Working out in the morning, trying to eat well, sleep well, water, the whole works. and then being home for the family because, I hate to be 80 years old. My son doesn't want to come to push me in my rocking chair, right? So, hey, listen, Richard, this has been fantastic. I want to just say again, so Richard Notogiacomo from RIT Venture Creations. If, people want to get in touch with you to learn more about how they could get involved with Venture Creations. And once again, they have to be either affiliated with RIT and or have a technology startup idea, correct?
Yeah, technology startup idea that relates to what we do on campus.
Right. And so where can they go? What can they do to learn more?
We've got a website, www.rit.edu/incubator. And actually, that's an award-winning website. I'll do a little shout out to my colleague, Raman Bala, who did that for us.
Awesome.
And, that should tell people a lot about what we do, give you a sense of who we're working with today, some of our success stories, and pathways to contact us for further information and discussion.
That's great. So, or even easier, just Google Venture Creations and they'll end up right there.
Google Venture Creations, they'll get right there.
Yep. And they can find you there too and get in touch with you as well.
Yep.
Excellent. Well, Richard, congratulations on all the great work that you are doing and RIT and Venture Creations are doing. You're doing a great thing for the community.
We got a hell of a team here.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's a sign of a good leader, right? You're creating more leaders, right? So appreciate everything that you're doing, and launching some great new companies here in Rochester. Around 20-ish per year in your program. So I wish you massive continued success, and thanks for what you're doing for the Rochester community.
Thank you.
And Avanti listeners, thank you for listening. We appreciate you too. We do have to go, but thanks so much for your time. Thanks for everyone for listening to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. And last but not least, if you or somebody you know would like to be considered to be a guest on the show, please email me at david@davidmamano.com. And Mamano is M-A-M-M-A-N-O. And make sure to check us out on the web at davidmamano.com and avantientrepreneurgroup.com. Make it a great day and stay awesome.
Radio station that educates and inspires. 1310 WOKR.